Podcasting.
Just some cats.
Hashem, Hashem, Naseh, Naseh. So we're going to start over here. We're holding a parak in Sefer Shemir Zalashen, Parak Hey. So that way here we're going to explain the punishment of a Baal Lashon Hara that he brings on himself. Through speaking Lashon Hara, he brings himself to Ra'as. And he makes himself into an absolute Mitzara. Like the Gemara said in Erechim. Whoever speaks Lashon Hara, Negai Bamalav, you're going to get to Ra'as. Shenemar, like the Pasuk says, Milashdi Vaseyse Re'eu Oysa Atmos. Amarish Lakish. So is Tiyas HaMitzara, Teres HaMitzik Shem Ra'a. When it says, this is the halachas of the Mitzara, Rish Lakish says, this is the halachas of someone who speaks Moshe Shemra, which is the worst form of Lashon Hara, which is speech, which is not Lashon Hara, which is not true. So someone who speaks, like we see in the Torah, the punishment of someone who speaks Lashon Hara is, they get Tara'as. And the Tara'as is such a deep, besides the fact that it was like a skin disease, it was very deep tumah. It's worse than even Tamei Mace. A Tamei Mace is the highest, basically the highest type of tumah. Right? Because a Tamei Mace could come into Machane Yisrael. A Matur was sent out of all three camps. He couldn't be in any camp. Even Machane Yisrael has to be chased out. So it means the worst tumah than a Tamei Mace. Tamei Mace we know is like the worst tumah. He's worse than a Tamei Mace. He has to go out of all three camps and stay out of all three camps. The Pasuk says, Badad Yeshem, alone he should sit Michutz LaMachane Yisrael, out of the Machane. He can't even sit in Machane Yisrael. Comes the Gemara and asks, Manashtana. Gemara asks, Manashtana, why is the Mitzara different than all other Tumas and everyone else? Now we say he has to sit alone. Tommy Mace doesn't have to sit alone. He can sit in Machane Yisrael. So Gemara says, it's Mida Kenegan Mida. Since he's separated between man and his wife, between man and his friend, the Torah says you have to separate from everyone also. So imagine. Just like you try to separate other people, we have to separate you. So Kadosh Rishu and Lady says, Manashtana Mitzara, why is the Mitzara different? The Torah says you need two birds to purify him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he did Ma'isipat, he spoke a lot. You have to bring birds that speak a lot in order to become pure. Fine, good. That's okay. Now, going further in, Likutei Etzos. So yesterday we started Likutei Etzos.
When the birds
dies, what the birds, where the birds you shack them, when lives. You dip in the blood. Yeah. I knew it. I didn't register. And then compare it to the mace. Yeah. Oh, so now we started Likutei Etzos yesterday. So after Likutei Etzos, there are people. They cover over all the nisim. They say, oh, it's nature. Anytime a miracle happens, say, oh, that's calm. You know, they'll explain how all the 10 mocks of the 10 plagues were all according to nature. Mm. They like taking every nace that happens and making it up, say, oh, that's natural, that's normal. They don't want to see Hashem. They always say, that's natural. Uchsheyichlu el apikorsim. When these apikorsim will be obliterated, be finished off, these people, deniers, that don't have emunah in nisim, they don't believe in miracles that Hashem does. V'tesrab emunah b'om, and there will be more emunah in the world. As the other Mashiach, then Mashiach will come. Because the Geula, the redemption is dependent on Emunah. When we have Emunah, that's when Mashiach will come. That's based on the Rishonim says, it's Ramban, the Ikar Geula Tluya Emunah. The main redemption is dependent on us having Emunah. That's why I saw Rav Arish wrote in a new pamphlet that just came out. It said, the brought down from the Chassam Sefer, he says, besides for davening so much that Hashem should bring the Geula, should daven for us that we should have Emunah. Say we should have Emunah and accept even the Gullus and accept that the Gullus is what Hashem wants from us. Because if we have Emunah, then the Gullus comes. Say daven to Hashem that we should be able to accept the Gullus and have Emunah, and that's what will bring the Gullus. That's what Chassam Sefer says. Dalet. E'efter lo le'emunah. It's impossible to come to Emunah. Ki'imai de emes. Unless a person is searching for the truth. If a person wants the truth, then you can come to Emunah. Why? Because the main emunah is only what you don't understand. If we understand, it's not called emunah. It means that I understand. Emunah begins when we stop to understand. I mean, where our understanding ends, that's where emunah begins. So if our seichel doesn't understand, how are we supposed to believe? Because we're looking for the truth. If a person wants to look for the truth, then we'll know a person, I have to believe in Hashem and the tzaddikim and the Torah, even though we can't understand it. But if a person is looking for the truth, they'll see from far the truth that a person, that we have to have emunah, and therefore if a person could only come to emunah if he's looking for the truth. Okay. Now, Baruch Hashem, we're in the Sechlis Beit. So we started the Gemara. Right? We had our Mishnah. Yeah, we had our Mishnah. What did our Mishnah say? What was the first case of our Mishnah? What was the first case of our Mishnah?
A Beitza that was Nola on Yom Tov.
Yeah.
Beit Shammai says you can eat it. Beit Hillel says you can't eat it.
Oh, fine. Egg that was born on Yom Tov. Beit Shammai says you can eat it. Beit Hillel says you can't eat it. Oh.
Yeah,
and touch it. True, you can touch it. Also, it's not mukti. You can touch it and eat it. Good. So yesterday we saw the Gemara. And the Gemara wanted to know, what's the scenario here? What's the situation? What's this chicken and the egg? What's it talking about? What's their scenario? Right? Is the chicken mukta or is the chicken not mukta? What's the case over here? Right? What was the Gemara's question? Yes, what was the Gemara's question? What did the Gemara start off? What was the Gemara's question right away? So what's the case?
What type of chicken is it?
What's the question? If it was designated...
If it was designated for eating, then why is base chilal prohibited? If it was designated for laying, then why does Beit Shammai allow for it?
Oh, perfect. Is this thing mukta or not? If it was set aside for shechting, so it's not mukta, it should be permitted. And if it was set aside for laying eggs, it should be mukta. So what's going on? How can Beit Shammai and Hillel argue? We're trying to figure out what's the scenario here. So we'll go over the Gemara again. Let's see the Gemara inside again. Maya Askina, what are we dealing with? What's the scenario? Elema, if you say Betarna Galus, we're referring to a case where this head is standing to eat it. You set it aside to eat. What's the reason Beis Hillel should say you can't eat it? The chicken itself is not mukta, and the egg is ochlo da'afrisu. The egg is ochlo da'afrisu, meaning it's part of the food. The food just got separated. It's food that was separated because the egg was usually part of the chicken. And now it just got separated. It gave birth. It laid the egg, and now it's just separated. The same way the chicken itself is not mukta, the egg is part of the chicken. It's not mukta. What's the difference if the egg is inside of the chicken? I shuck the egg and I eat the egg from there, or it laid the egg. There's no difference. It's the same thing. So there's no issue of mukta, right? There should be a problem of nailah that was just born. But what's the whole problem of nailah? It's important to understand what was the whole problem of somebody being born. The whole problem is I didn't have, my mind wasn't on it. Right? My mind wasn't on it. But over here, my mind was on this egg. Because I had a mind to eat the chicken with whatever comes with it. The egg is come with it. That also is on my mind. So even though the chicken was born, the egg was born on Yom Tov, there's no issue of Noilad. Because there's no issue of that it was set aside, I wasn't planning on eating it. So I was planning on eating it. Let's say I would have shot the chicken with the egg inside. I would have eaten it. So therefore, it's no problem. Ochlo da'afrisu is part of the food, that egg. So why should it be mukta?
A hen that's prepared for laying eggs and not for shkita. Why wouldn't it still have the head to be eaten? Because in a trying time, you eat the hen anyways. Which is how we pass it for most cases in food. So even though it's prepared for laying eggs, if you have another food to eat, you're still going to shecht it. So you can't pursue them.
I don't know exactly why it doesn't go into that category. Good question. Yevin a few years.
That's how he passes for almost all cases with regards to food. That even though you were not gonna, even if you didn't plan to eat
if
it,
you would eat the food,
you could eat it, and so we're not gonna call it muksa. Why isn't that the case?
I don't know. That's a good question. How is muksa? I don't know why this muksa is different.
You say it's not regarding it as food. In the beginning,
it is food. It's not for food, but it's prepared for something else. But with food, with cases of food.
Usually
with muksa, we say if you could eat it, it's not going to be called
muksa.
So
over here, I don't know if it's
true. That's the question of Beis Hillel. Why Beis Hillel say you can't eat it?
It's true. But over here, it seems like it's more complicated. Because over here, you specifically had intention not to eat it. Your case of the food is you're not intending not to eat it. Your regular case of the muksa is just it's not so edible yet. That you would eat it b'shas hatchak. Over here, you specifically had an intention not to eat it.
You're not designated.
You're designated not to eat it. It's worse. It's worse.
You didn't need it.
No, it's not. If you wanted it, you
designated as
egg. You wanted this thing. You don't want to eat it. Unless if you're starving and eat it, you might eat it. But really,
that's the header that we rely on. That's why raw meat you can handle or you can
third two thirds cooked. Only if it's edible, but yeah.
No, Mishnah Berurah paskens that raw meat you're allowed to pass because some people could eat it.
Fine.
In a trying time, you could eat raw meat.
Fine, but I'm saying over here it's different. We're not really learning Hilchos Mukta now, but in Hilchos Mukta it's different. Over here, you specifically had in mind. Now, we're not saying you can't eat it b'shachas. You could eat it. It's 100% edible. Here it's different. Over here we're talking about Mukta Machas Hachala, like we explained yesterday. It's Mukta because I didn't prepare it. In my mind, my mental preparation was that it was set aside. So you're telling me a case that the food was not so edible. Here it's much worse. Here it's much stricter because I had in mind specifically I don't want to eat it. Not because it's not edible, because I put in my psyche I want this chicken specifically to make me eggs. That's what it's for. So it's more strict.
With that combination, this chicken is for laying eggs. But you have in mind, you know this chicken's going to lay an egg on your dip. You want to eat that egg?
Oh, so you're asking a good question. So you're asking, let's wait till you're asking a question on the next step in Beis Hillel. Right now we're saying it should be mutter. You're already asking in the Usher Shita. Right now we're saying, we don't understand, it should be 100% allowed. Good? You're asking a question on the next step. When we're going to say it's Usher, you're asking, wait, hold on for 1 minute. You're in the next step, I think, while you'll ask you a question. It's a good question. So if we're talking about a case where you're supposed to eat it, so it's 100% mutter. It's not nullah. There's no reason to make it usr. So why in the world should we still say you can't eat this egg? Ella rather. But it must be the whole purpose that I set aside the chicken. I set it aside specifically in order to lay eggs. So if so, what's the reason for Beis Shammai? That holds that you're allowed to eat the eggs. Muktahi, it's mukta, which a lot of Rishayim, they learned that what the Gemara right now is really means to ask. When we say muksa, we really mean right now it's noilad. It's an issue of noilad. Because since I didn't have in mind that this egg is going to be born, I didn't know for sure it was going to be born, so it should be muksa. Now, Fred was asking, but I know my chicken always lays eggs. So first of all, we're not necessarily talking about a case that the chicken lays eggs every single day. It's only like specific types of hens. Some hens, they bring that up here that they don't. I don't necessarily know it's for sure going to lay an egg today. I don't know for sure. I mean, it depends on the type of.
But he was saying
there are certain types that there's one species basically that it does lay 3 to 4 eggs a day. But that's like a chiddush. He's saying like there's not usually unless that's probably the ones they use if they want to lay eggs on an egg farm. But usually they don't necessarily lay 3 or 4 eggs every day. So it sounds like in a normal case. Or the Martha made a case where we didn't know. They bring that over here from the Rishayim. You didn't know that it was going to lay eggs. You didn't know. You're right. Technically speaking, you're right. If you knew for sure it was going to lay eggs, it would be a different halach. Correct. So Fred is right. If you know for sure, it wouldn't be nala. Because your mind was on it. We're talking about a case specifically over here, a normal hen, that some days it lays eggs, some days it doesn't. It doesn't have to be every single day. So if so, my mind wasn't on the eggs, on that I'm going to eat the eggs on Yom Tov. So it should be issue of nala. So it should be issue of nala. So how could it base... Basham, I say you say it's not it's mutter, it's mukta because it's nailad. Good. So come to where it says, why are you so stuck? Why well my kushi, what's your question? Where it says? Dilma maybe. Beshamai last little mukta. Maybe Beshamai holds we don't have this type of mukta. He doesn't hold a mukta. Right? Which is, we know it's a famous shita, like Rashi brought down for Rav Shimon in Masechta Shabbos, the famous Machlokes of Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. Rav Shimon doesn't hold on many types of mukta. And Rehuda does, like we brought the example yesterday, Rashi brought the example of the Mishnah where they argue. It's important to know that before our sugya, there is a clear case where Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda argue. That Rav Shimon holds there is no mukta. And Rav Yehuda holds there is. What's the case we mentioned yesterday? You light your wick with oil, extra virgin olive oil. So right now, you're having in mind, this oil is being set aside to burn. This oil is going to burn, the candle is going to burn for my Shabbos candles. Let's say now, the candle goes out, the fire goes out. Now I want to use this oil for my salad. What happens? Rav Yehuda says, it's mukta. Your mind was it should be for the candle. You're not allowed to use it for salad. Karmi Shimon says it's mukta. You're allowed to use it for your salad. Use it for whatever you want. So he doesn't hold the mukta. He doesn't hold it since you had in mind that it should go for the oil. You meant your mind was only for the oil. He's saying you also intended in the back of your mind that it could be used also for salad, let's say. Therefore, it's good. What does it mean Rav Shimon doesn't hold the mukta? What does that mean? He focuses more on your psyche. He says, since you didn't totally take it out of your mind, it's not considered set aside. That's what Rav Shimon learns. Since you know in the back of your head you could still use it for other purposes, it's not considered you set it aside, it's not going to be muksa. That's what Rav Shimon holds. So comes in where I said, maybe Beshama doesn't hold a muksa. So that's what he holds. This egg, even though you didn't know it was going to come out, it's nila. And maybe Shimon, it's not muksa. There's no problem with muksa. We all look at Rav Shimon. Like really, like what Fred was saying, you know in the back of your mind it could technically lay an egg. Therefore, it's not muksa. You didn't know for sure it's going to happen, but according to Rav Shimon, that's good enough. As long as there's a possibility, Rav Shimon holds it's good enough. If there's a possibility, then it's not muksa. So why I said it like this? No. Because so could I, then we hold Afilo man to show you b'mukta, but not let us sir. Even the one who says that mukta is mutter, not let is usr. Meaning what? Even though, let's say, for example, the chicken itself wouldn't be mukta according to Rav Shimon, right? Let's say you set aside the chicken to lay eggs. Good. So the chicken itself is not mukta. Good, because it's not so disconnected from my mind. But the eggs would be mukta. Why? What's the difference? Let's see Rashi. Let's see Rashi Kosalka Daitin. Yeah. Like 12 lines from the narrow lines in Rashi. Kosalka Daitin. Lahali Barchina Mai Tamai de Beshai. This is why we're asking what's the reason of Beshai. Because we think now that Afilu the Rav Shimon the Shari Bimukta. Even according to Rav Shimon, who says mukta is mutter, but noilad aser. By noilad, when someone was born, Rav Shimon would hold that is mukta, that is aser to touch and to eat. Why? The ilu b'mukta svirule loy makti inish midaite. Because it is by the case of mukta, Rav Shimon holds a person does not set it aside from his mind. Midi the chazile, something that is fifth. Something that you see right now in front of you, let's say the chicken. It's not mukta, because it's in front of you. It's not considered mukta. Aval naila, but something that was born afterwards, Rashi, lo yahava yada, you did not know. You did not know that it's going to be existent. You did not know this chicken's going to lay an egg. Did not have it, that it should be daiti elu, your mind on it. So what's Rashi explaining? The difference. Even though Rav Shimon. What's the problem?
That's trying to answer Yaakov's question.
The what?
It's a question on the fact of nolad and the income being derived from the chicken.
So what are we saying here? Saying Rav Shimon holds that the chicken itself, even though you put it on the side, the chicken to lay eggs, that does not make it mukta. Because in my mind, I know that I can still shecht it. However, something that's not in this world at all right now, and I don't know necessarily if it's going to happen, that's going to lay an egg, that is mukta. Because that wasn't on my mind. It's too far removed from your mind. So that is mukta. That's the one I was saying. The one is going to change. The one wants to make like a split. One does Rav Shimon say there's no mukta. Let's make it's around right now. It's around, it's in front of me. This chicken, even though I set it aside to lay eggs, in my mind, I still have in mind, I know in the back of my mind I can still shaft it. So it's not mukta. It's not really set aside. But the eggs which weren't here at all, that is mukta. That's the one I wants to say. That even Rav Shimon would agree that the eggs are set aside for a month, and therefore they are muktzah.
We know we have a heter to eat or to do anything for ochel nefesh, even to write malachim. So why are we arguing on something that's derbanan and fast muktzah? Why doesn't also basically all pasken that even though that is muktzah or whatever, that we were allowed to get it because of ochel nefesh?
So we'll see them later. Not necessarily the rabbanan break down their barriers for in certain
even
cases
for muktzah.
So it's not only you could do a deraisa. You could do a deraisa. You could transfer the deraisa in cooking. Not necessarily the rabbanan back down
on
a lot of their exams. We've seen the Gemara later. They were very strict, especially on Yom Tov, because people are bizarre on Yom Tov. We've seen the Gemara on base. People cheapen Yom Tov and they think it's not as chamor, especially Yom Tov Sheni. Therefore, many times now they have to keep a hold up their barriers. The Gemara we read these far on the next stage. It's a good question. Yeah, so so what comes out right now? So the Gemara says, so again, the Gemara says, Kosol Kadai, that we think now, Filo Man, the Sharbi Mukta, even a quarter of Shivan, the whole Mukta is Mutter, but now that us should be Usher. So if so, my time with the Bishama. My time, my who? What's the reason of Bishama? I mean, how in the world can Bishama say you're allowed to move this egg? It's the issue of Naila. And even if Rav Shimon doesn't hold the Mukta, you should hold the Naila. That's what we're holding the Gemara. So we're basically stuck. What in the world is the scenario of our Mishnah? Kind of the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, I have a pshat on our Mishnah. This is going to be the first of a few pshatim. Amar Rav Nachman, La'olam really retired to Goyle, so I met this Lagadal Beitzer. We're referring to a scenario where this chicken is really set aside to lay the eggs.
Grow eggs.
Ah, I said, if so, should be muktza. It's nayla. How can we Shabbos say it's muktza? He said, no. Ude islay muktza. If there is to him an issue of muktza, meaning according to Beis Hillel, who has an issue of muktza, like Rabbi Yehuda, there's an issue of muktza. Islay nayla, there is to him also an issue of nayla. So it means if the chicken has an issue of muktza, he'll also have an issue of nayla on the eggs. Ude leslay muktza, if there's no issue of muktza on the chicken, which is, we said, that's where Rav Shimon would hold, which is Beis Shabbos longer than Rav Shimon. Less like Naila, there will be no issue of Naila. Unlike we just said a minute ago. We wanted to say, even according to Rav Shimon, that there's no Muktzah, there is Naila. We're saying that's not true. There's no Muktzah, there's no Naila. So according to Bishamai, he's more like Rav Shimon, says there's no Muktzah over here, and therefore there's no issue of Naila either. And therefore you're allowed to move the chicken, you're allowed to move the egg and eat the egg.
Are you saying that muktzah and nola are always tied together? If you hold muktzah, then you always have to hold nola and vice versa?
Yes. Meaning, our differentiation we try to make is not a true differentiation, right? Our Gemara wanted to make a split. And we wanted to say, even though Rav Shimon holds there's no issue of muktzah, right? If something that's right in front of me, the chicken itself is in front of me, I never took it totally out of my mind, it's not muktzah. Our Gemara would say, nola, which is a step removed from that, because something that's born, say that Rav Shimon would hold as muktzah. That's too far removed. Come on, saying it's not true. According to Rav Shimon, first of all, the chicken itself is not muktzah, even though you weren't planning on eating it. And even the egg also, which is even more far removed from your mind, is also not muktzah, because you knew in the deep, in the back of your head, that it could lay an egg.
Is this how Rav Shimon holds in Nolad, or is because this is just saying Rav Nachman?
That's what Nachman's explaining. He's explaining Rav Shimon.
I understand.
He's explaining Rav Shimon doesn't talk about that. Rav Shimon talks about muktzah. We thought maybe Rav Shimon would stop at his trade at a certain extent before you get to Nela. I mean, he'll only say there's no muktzah on the chicken itself. But something that was born already, we said that's too far removed from your mind, that would be set aside. Comes in where Rav Nachman saying that's not true. I hear where you're coming from. That's wrong. Rav Shimon holds there's no problem. Rav Shimon holds there's no problem with muktzah. And even Nailad, there's no problem. Because you knew it could lay an egg. You knew the chicken could lay an egg. And that's good enough for us. Since you knew subconsciously or even consciously that this thing could lay an egg, your mind was on it. So therefore, it's not Muktzah.
Right?
Right? So we're changing.
I think it's like either. It's like not that.
But either. Because it's Bishamay.
Not that the chicken could lay an egg. It's the fact that you didn't. You didn't designate this thing as muksa.
Fine, I'm saying fine, but that's usually what muksa is. Usually is if it's not designated for something good. It's usually if it's removed from a purpose, it automatically has no purpose. I mean, it's removed from me.
That's Rabbi Yehuda.
Not even Rabbi Shimon.
No, Rabbi Shimon's the opposite. Rabbi Shimon is, if this thing has no Moshe status on it, right? Even if there's nothing, even if you have no awareness of it, then no Moshe comes onto it.
Right. As long as I had some type of use in my mind, even though I didn't specifically think of a use for it, even though I didn't specifically have a use for it, if there could have been a use in the back of my mind, it's good enough.
It's like two different ways of looking at books. It's like one is like, I allow everything except for the one thing that's designated that it's not allowed to be. And the other one is, I allow
nothing. Correct.
Except for
what you had intention.
Except for what you had intention for.
Right.
So there's two opposite ways of looking at it, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon.
Right here, because I like that. So again, what our Gemara first wants to say, maybe, even though Rabbi Shimon holds, there's no problem of Muktzah, he'll hold that Nel is Muktzah. Meaning, even though we tell you that something which is Muktzah in your possession, Rabbi Shimon says you're allowed to still use it, the chicken, but Nel, saying it's going to be born is too far removed from your mind, therefore, it's going to have a problem of Muktzah. Or saying that's not true, Rabbi Shimon, who says there's no issue of Muktzah, also there's no issue of Nel.
Right.
Even though it was much, even more far removed than the chicken, the egg was more far removed from your mind, it's still no problem of so there wasn't what I say now. That's very good now. We understand our machlokes, we understand our Mishnah now. Beishamai k'Rav Shimon. Beishamai said in our Mishnah, you're allowed to move the egg. It goes like Rav Shimon. There's no issue of muktzah or nailed, no issues at all. Well, Beis Hillel in our Mishnah is k'Rav Yehuda. Beis Hillel, who said that you're not allowed to move the egg, you're not allowed to eat the egg, is possibly like Rabbi Yehuda, he's part of Rabbi Yehuda who holds that there is muktzah, so the chicken is muktzah, the egg is muktzah, everything is muktzah. So Rav Shaphah has a very simple scenario. So what does Rav Nachman come out? Really the case in our Mishnah is that you really did set aside this chicken for egg laying. However, Beishamai goes like Rav Shimon. Right? And Beishamai goes like Rabbi Yehuda, Beishamai goes like Rav Shimon, that there's no issues of muktzah, we're lenient. And Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, there is issues of Muktzah, so we're strict. So this is the first pshat we have to explain our Mishnah. Fine, everybody's good with this pshat so far? Fine. However, the Gemara has a little problem with this. What's the problem? That this is very nice for Nachman and Hilchas Yomtiv. So our Mishnah and Hilchas Yomtiv, he's telling me that Beis Shammai, well, our Mishnah is talking about Hilchas Yomtiv, correct? When you're the egg thing laid the egg on Yomtiv. Correct? Our Mishnah is not referring to Shabbos. The question why our Mishnah didn't talk about Shabbos, but it's not a question. Our Mishnah specifically was speaking about Yomtiv. On Yomtiv, we see Beis Shammai is like Rav Shimon, and it sounds like Rav Yehuda. What's the problem? The problem is Rav Nachman himself told me the opposite in Hilchos Shabbos. We're going to bring from Hilchos Shabbos that Rav Nachman says the opposite. Rav Nachman tells me that Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Yehuda that there is muktzah, and Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Shimon there's no muktzah. He tells you the exact opposite. That's me the Gemara's issue, right? Which means we're going to bring a brisa. Really, the brisa said the way it would be good for us, but then Rav Nachman flips the brisa. So Rav Nachman said
it's a Mishnah.
The Mishnah, sorry, the Mishnah. So let's see it inside. Come tomorrow and says, Umi Amar Rav Nachman Hachi. Did Rav Nachman say like this? Could Rav Nachman say this pshat that Beis Shammai is Rav Shimon and Beis Hillel is going according to Rav Yehuda? For Hatam, we learned to the Mishnah and Shabbos. Beis Shammai and Beis Shammai says, Magbiin me'al hashulchan. You're allowed to lift off the table atzamas uklipin, bones and shells which are muktzah. Right? You have bones from your chicken or shells from your pistachio nuts. They're muktzah. You have no use for them on Shabbos. Correct? Let's say we're in a scenario where the bone has no more meat on it, or your shells, there's no use, no animals can eat them. We're referring to a case where they're not edible by any animals, therefore the halacha is, they're muktzah. Therefore, what do you have to do? Beis Shammai says, they're not muktzah. Seemingly, he holds, like Rav Shimon, there's no muktzah. Right? He says, take them off with your hands, there's no issue of muktzah. Take these shells off with your hands. Beis Hillel say, no. You cannot touch them directly because it's muktzah. Mesalik es hatavla kula. Remove the entire tavla, the entire top of the table, right? They used to have, instead of a tablecloth, they have like an extra piece on top of their table. That's what they would eat on. The crumbs would go on that extra piece. The tavla is like a tablet. The piece, your tabletop. So remove the tabletop. Umanara and shake it off. Shake it onto the floor, into the garbage. Shake the tabletop. which means this is total min hatzad. You're moving seven from the sun, which might hold the muksa. When you need to, you're allowed, right? So you, as long as you don't touch the muksa directly. So you're not touching the muksa directly. You're taking the tabletop and you're shaking it off. Good? So what's the sound like from us? The Shammai says you're allowed to touch the muksa. The Shammai holds like Rav Shimon that holds there is muksa. Right? What comes out right now?
The Shammai is like Rav
Shimon.
Shammai is like Rav Shimon.
There's no muksa.
There's no muksa. Yeah.
Touch the shell.
Like normal shita.
And Beis Hillel says you're not allowed to touch the shell. You have to do it in an indirect way. Right? And therefore, he says, Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that says you're not allowed to touch it. You're not allowed to touch the muksa. Shake it off. But okay. Yama, it's good so far.
Yeah.
It's good. So right now, everything's parallel to what we said tonight. What's the problem? The problem is Reb Nachman came in here and flipped the shitas. Comes Reb Nachman. Amar Reb Nachman. Anu to us, Eidlanu Ela Beishamek Rabbi Yehuda. We only have our text from our Rebbeim is that Beishamek is like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds there is yes the issue of muksa, so you're going to have to shake the table off. Beis Hillel Rav Shimon. Beis Hillel is going to go like Rav Shimon, that Beis Hillel is going to hold that there's no issue of muksa, you can take them off with your hands. So Rav Nachman, the way he has the text over here, is going to be contradicting the way he said by us. Because by us, Rav Nachman told me, Beis Shammai is Rav Shimon, Beis Hillel is Rav Yehuda. Over there he's telling me the exact opposite. Hilchos Shabbos, he's telling me. What did he tell me? Over there he tells me, Beis Shammai like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is muksa. Beis Hillel like Rabbi Shimon, there's no muksa. So it's a contradiction in Reb Nachman. So Reb Nachman, you try to give me a pshat on our Mishnah. Right, we were stuck. We didn't know pshat on our Mishnah. You told me you had a pshat on our Mishnah. We told you about a case of muksa. Beis Shammai doesn't care about muksa. Beis Hillel does care about muksa. You're contradicting yourself. So in Hilchos Shabbos, you yourself told me the opposite. You told me that Beis Shammai holds like there is muksa like Rabbi Yehuda. Beis Hillel like Shimon, there's no muksa. So you're contradicting yourself. So how can you do that? It's good, it's clear.
So is he just clarifying himself? Is he just saying, is it so obvious that he's saying, I was talking about, this previous mission, I was talking about Shabbos and not Yom Tov?
That's the next step of the Gemara. That's right, the answer, right in the question. Yeah, that's going to be Sue. Sue's going to say that Sue's going to explain to us the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. And therefore it makes sense that he's not really contradicting himself. Because Shabbos and Yom Tov are different.
I understand, but it seems like he is setting himself up for his own contradiction.
That's our question. So we're asking on him. I mean, we're asking the contradiction. He's not setting, we're asking on him the contradiction.
The Gemara is asking
on Reb Nachman the contradiction. I mean, you Reb Nachman are talking about Shabbos and Mishnah in Hilchos Yom Tov, but you yourself said in Hilchos Shabbos the opposite.
Right.
So maybe your pshat by us doesn't make sense.
But he's not, I thought he was proclaiming himself that I made a mistake. The Gemara's questioning him, not him saying what I meant. He's not clarifying himself, the Gemara's questioning him.
Correct. The Gemara is questioning. The Gemara is
questioning. Then he clarifies himself. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's Biyamar Rabbi Nachman is not Rabbi Nachman saying, it is they're questioning, they say to Rabbi Nachman. Is that what that means? After Sheikh, after when Ra, period, the Amar Reb Nachman. The Gemara is asking Reb Nachman or Reb Nachman's
saying? No, over there that was the statement, but we started off asking on him. Our Gemara started off, we asked, Umi Amar Reb Nachman, did Reb Nachman say such a thing? For Hatanaba, we learned in the Mishnah. I mean, in the beginning, we started asking. We said, Umi Amar Reb Nachman, did Reb Nachman say such a thing? That I have a Hatanaba, we learned in the Mishnah the opposite, which means Reb Nachman over there was mentioning, over there, Reb Nachman was making a statement.
Right.
That Beis Shammai is Rabbi Yehuda, Beis Hillel is Rabbi Shimon. So we're questioning that statement of Reb Nachman.
We're questioning.
How can Reb Nachman say over there, Beis Shammai is Rabbi Yehuda, Beis Hillel is Rabbi Shimon, by Hilchos Shabbos, by Hilchos Yom Tov, we told me the exact opposite, and that was the only way you've made a normal pshat on our Mishnah. So maybe your pshat on our Mishnah is wrong. I don't know, Reb Nachman, how are you contradicting yourself? So what's Reb Nachman going to ask you? He said, I'm not contradicting myself. Because Shabbos and Yom Tov are different. In Hilchos Yom Tov, Beis Shammai is like Rabbi Shimon and Beis Hillel like Rabbi Yehuda. And Hilchos Shabbos is the opposite. He says it's not a contradiction. He's going to have to explain himself why it's like that. But he said it's not a contradiction at all. And first he's going to prove to us why he's forced to say that. Why we're forced to say such a thing. That they flip their shittos between Shabbos and Yom Tov. And then he's going to give an explanation why it's true. Why he's going to explain to us why it's so. So before we get to the Gemara's Teretz, let's try to see some Rashi's. The Gemara asks, "Umi Amar Reb Nachman Hachi to Beis Hillel Rabbi Yehuda? Did Reb Nachman really say like this that Beis Hillel is like Rabbi Yehuda? But we learned over here in Hilchos Shabbos that it says over there, if you have the shells and the muktzah things on the table, so what do you do? So Beis Shammai said over there, simple, pick them up, take them off the table. Magbin, let's see Rashi Magbin. You lift the Shabbos on Shabbos, me'al shulchan from on the table. At Samas, the bones, she'ena ru'in lakil, which are not fit to eat. Uklipi agrezim, the shells of the walnuts. V'loi chayshinu m'lamukta, we are not worried about mukta, because they held like Rav Shimon, there's no issue of mukta. Ubeis Hill, and Rav Hill says, no. In v'tatla isam b'yadayim, you can't touch it with your hands directly. She'mukta isn't because they are mukta. Ella rather, misalik ha'tavler, remove the tavla, which is the top of the table, the tabletop. She'yesh taris kli alav, because this tavla itself does have a taris kli, so this is not mukta. So take something which is not mukta, touch the thing which is not mukta. Umanara, shake it off.
So it's not tilta
minatzah. Tilta minatzah.
But you're not allowed to move the machas gufoi through tilta minatzah.
Okay, we'll put on what I was saying. Basically, what's the one I'm saying right now? Right now, Mishavur says tilta minatzah.
You're moving the table.
I don't want to just lose the folks in the Gemara here. Yes, because I help us mukta, just want to keep the flow. I told you after, you look in the Mishavur. So you're taking the top of the table. You move the top of the table, which is a kli, and then you're not really moving the muktzah. You can't take the shells off, right? It's called tilta b'natzah. You move it, you move it indirectly, and therefore when you touch the table, you tilt it off. That's what Hillel says, because you cannot touch the shells themselves. Good? Fine? So far, so good? What was the problem over there? But Amr ibn Nachman, said, Anu e'lanu, b'shitas mishnah, or the shitas mishnah. Because the shitas were flipped. He's saying, we don't have such a Mishnah. What does it mean, we don't, anu einlan, right? Now we don't have this. I mean, we don't have your text. Why don't we have this Mishnah? Because we have the opposite Mishnah. That's what he means to say. That's why we don't have the whole Mishnah. Right? Elakach shemati Rabbi say, this is what I heard from Rabbi Rabbein. The Beshame Krib Yehuda, Machmeri, Beshame Yehuda Krib Yehuda, who is strict. And if so, then we have a country.
This Mishnah, those words in this Mishnah in the Gemara, this is saying, let's say, Beis Hillel holds that it's Mukta, but in Rav Nachman, are you saying that he has a version where in the Mishnah it said, Beis Hillel said you could pick them up and take them off?
Correct.
Nice.
Correct. Which means you would reread the Brice like this. Let's just go back to the Brice. You would say, Beis Shammai says, you flip the words. Instead of flip Beis Shammai Hillel, where it says Beis Shammai switches. The first we say Beis Hillel, I mean Beis Hillel says Magbi in my Allah Shulchan. You can lift it off the table, right? Because Beis Hillel holds like Rav Shimon. That's how it was included. U Beis Shammai, I mean Beis Shammai would say Mesalik is a tavla kula, remove the table Unara and move. So we're flipping around the shitas, right? Which would mean that it's the opposite of what we said by us. Because over there you're telling me that Beis Shammai is like Rav Yehuda, and Beis Hillel is like Rav Shimon. It's the opposite of what we said. It's good. So, right, Rav Nachman would say switch the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel on that Mishnah, which makes a contradiction for us, which makes a problem for us. But to now, well, just since everybody asked the question about Muksa, let's talk about Muksa for a minute. So, Be'ez Hashem next week, well, hopefully Sunday we have the Siyum. So we'll see if we go for the Sunday, we'll see how it works out, and to see the Gemara say Rav Nachman's Teretz, while Rav Nachman's going to figure out why it's not a contradiction, because Shabbos and Yom Tov are a little bit different, but. Stav, the really a simple shayla. Rav Tzvi asked me, even according, let's say you hold it, is an issue of muktzah with the peels. Let's say the peels are muktzah, right? What do we say you should do here? Let's say every Shabbos, you have a regular Shabbos, you have shells on your table. You have shells on your table, or you have muktzah, you have a chicken bone on your table, right? So how are you allowed to move it off your table? How are you allowed to move it off? So if it's a lot, if it makes you disgusting, good. So the Shulchan Aruch that the third shot is considered, if it's disgusting to you, makes you disgusting, you're liable to move it up to the graph shall read. Let's say right now you have an issue of muktzah. What do we say here you should do? So tilt the tablecloth, let the table, the Mishavur said the tablecloth also. Tilt the tablecloth and then it's tilt the manatzah. Right? Now do you do that? Rabbanan, do you do that when you have stuff? You don't do that. You do that, Fred? No one does it. Why do we have to do tilt the manatzah? Right? So one shot is a graph shall read. It's disgusting. Especially if it's a lot of it. Let's say it's a lot of pits. This guy had a big pile of shells. It's disgusting. So the Chacham always make, they're lenient when it's a graph shorei, when it's disgusting. Right? That's one thing the Shulchan Aruch says. Second of all, if there's a little bit of chicken on the chicken bone, it's still edible, also it's not mukta. Usually most of it, we don't bite the chicken until there's nothing left. Chicken bone itself also is still edible by a dog. Even meat, you don't usually lick the bone clean. What about when you have nuts and shells of nuts? So what do we do? So us usually it's disgusting. Right? One shot, because it's disgusting to us. Right? It's disgusting. So one shot, was right for some animals to eat. One shot is disgusting.
The second is you bittle it with something that's spicy.
Oh. Or, what's the other? The other thing is that you should put it on a plate. What's the issue over here? What's it? You're taking these things that are mukta, right? That only helps to bust this one second. So if you put it on a plate, the best thing is you're eating pistachios on a plate. So put one good pistachio on your plate.
That was the question of the Mishnah. The first was, how come this thing is in a bus?
In a bus.
And then how are you allowed to move this thing?
Right.
Anyway, it's definitely not tilting it inside. You put the challah down, so you're moving the challah technically.
That's a different eitza, because you're getting that you're not making everything a bus. It's a different eitza. But if you were stuck,
yeah.
The Shavur says, we're doing tilting outside.
But in this case, you can't just move. You have just the click and you move the table. It doesn't help you with the muksa.
Because it's a bus. It's not a bus. Right. It's not because it's a three shot movie. Why it's not a bus? Yeah. Maybe we'll get to it in a minute. You're asking a good question. Then Taisa's over there. You're asking a good question. Three's question. Taisa's question. All the Shaira. Basically, what do we come out of it? Basically, if you have an Hilcha Shabbos, you have Shabbos. So, really, the best option on your plate, let's eat pistachios. Put one good pistachio and a lot of all your shells. Because the rule is, your plate with something which is mutter, mukta, and not mukta, doesn't become mukta. Then you can take the whole plate and throw it in the garbage. Got there, friend? That's the place I'm saying. Take one good pistachio, or one good piece of popcorn or something, put it on your plate. So then all the other pistachio in your plate, this whole plate doesn't become mukta now, since there's stuff that aren't mukta on it. Therefore, take that. Now, over here, everybody's also asking another question. Whoever wants to leave, you can leave. Whoever has, you have Nassim Ayman's here?
I believe.
He was here yesterday.
Probably.
2 days ago. I don't think it's official shiur, but he was here, you don't know. He was gathering. He was here. Fine. Also, another shaila is, what about buses? Everyone's asking a question, how in the world could you move this tablecloth? Right? If you have mukta on something, it becomes a buses. The base of mukta becomes the same mukta as the thing on it, right? So if you have these pistachios that are mukta, how are you allowed to move this tablecloth? The whole tablecloth becomes mukta. Is that true from your vast knowledge in Hilcha Shabbos? Rabbi Yamin?
I don't know.
It's buses. What's Lacha buses? They're base. Almost English. The car gets the same mukta as whatever it is. So happy that your pistachios are mukta, so shake the tablecloth. But my tablecloth became mukta now. So what do you say, Fred?
Well, if you have something, some other food, like a whole pistachio or some other kind of food on there, then you can move it.
So that's the Shulchan Aruch now. That's one eitza. But let's say I didn't. The Gemara sounds like it's mukta without that. That was just the eitza that makes things easier for you. We're giving an eitza, put a good food on it so it doesn't become. But what about, let's say you had nothing on it.
Maybe it's a shinui, So
Taisus has three pshat. Taisus asks, whoever wants to get extra credit, and look at Taisus over here. Look at Taisus, almost the bottom of the page. Beitil Armin. Beitil Armin Mesalik as a tabla. Remove the tabla. Umanar. Tema. It's a wonder. Valahi, isn't it? Basis Ladavar HaAster. It's a base, which is Aster. And you put it there on purpose. So halay shachah, you didn't forget it. You just think, why is it going to be a basis? Hal v'nicham shamidaita. V'yesh l'arme, let's see the first shachah taisis. The appear should be in a time nicham, according to the Shabbos code. The appear should be set of the Shabbos. The loy have a basal davar aser, it doesn't become a basis. Eluk shedaita la nicham sham kalayayim. This thing only becomes a base if you plan on leaving this muksa there the entire Shabbos. If you do not intend on leaving this muksa there the entire Shabbos, it does not become a basis. That's one shachah taisis. That's bringing another pshat. That's the second shot is with the eitzah we gave. Fred, this is yours. The second shot is the shot we said earlier. Inami. Kiva davisham oichlet, since there are other food on the table at the same time, right? Since it's good food there also. And then it's good to learn a bit of time. And halach, we don't use.
No, but I'm trying to remember when we went through Hafizmos, there are people asking that if you had muksa by accident on the buses and you meant to have something that wasn't muksa on it, you can still move it. It's not just
in the buses. Maybe it's fine. That's a different cheetah, because that has to be data. Fine. And it's something else. It's a little bit different. So that's the second Taisus. There's the eighth of the place you can say today, put something good on the table. And then something which is basis for something which is mutter and asr doesn't become a basis. You're only a base to mukta. There's only mukta on top of the table. There's good stuff and bad stuff. You don't become mukta. You're a table for everything. That's the second answer. That's what the Pisces said, the bet you could do today.
Yeah, but that's only going to help you if you're going to move your table.
No, but we say to put it on your plate. He says also, you're not intentionally, even though you're putting it on your plate, you're not putting it there to be on the table. You don't care if they'll fall. I don't know about these days. In those days, you don't care if your pistachios fall on the floor. So you didn't really intend that they should go on the table and the table should become a basis. Saying, because you don't care if they fall on the floor. So I don't know how much those aids to apply these days, because you wouldn't care if your pistachios fall over your fancy dining room floor. But for sure, the Pisces say do the middle eight. So which Taisa said was, if you have something which is mutter and usr on the plate, then it doesn't become a bus. So if you're eating pistachio, they say, put a good pistachio on first, or some other good food, or put something which is mutter, leave your fork on there, something which is mutter, then it won't become a bus. And even though the pistachio is a mukhtar, you can take your whole plate now, and your plate doesn't become mukhtar, and throw your whole plate in the car. It should be, so it doesn't become a bus. Yeah, it should be, the good should be there first.
Let's say you're eating...
Right.
Olives.
Right.
Pits,
yeah. And
you put the pit on the tablecloth.
Right,
on the tablecloth. On your plate.
Right.
Right, now you put it on the tablecloth.
Right.
Now it's muksa.
Right.
Right.
You can't lift it off to put it on the plate. Right, so
you
if
can
it,
move the tablecloth.
Right, but
you can't lift it off
to
put it on the plate.
You're right, so you can't lift it because the alif is a muksa. If there was something chasham on the table. So you're right, so if there was move the tablecloth.
That's only stopping you, that's only helping you. Tablecloth.
Right.
You still can't then remove it from the.
Right. So, in my sense, I think you'd always have a heter of crapshal raid. It's disgusting to us.
Right.
That's what we have. Even the Mishur says when it's a lop. I think these days, it the point is when it's disgusting. It's disgusting. Even a few outfits.
Yeah, Mishur
said.
Because he was saying a pot. If you need the space, also, it's a different heter. Here we're talking about
you need it for
shopping. But here we're talking about, let's say you don't need
it.
You're right. Technically, if you need it, but we're saying here, you don't need
the space. Why are you even in your meal? In the middle of your meal, you don't need the space. Stop it.
Right. I don't need this minute of space. Right, technically right. There are a table. Also, if you need the space, also you can move it. There are different tables. Right now, I ate dessert and I have pistachio things all over my. I have pistachio things all over my table now. Right. Every guy's eating these things. These guys spitting their things all over the table. Right, it's disgusting. It's sitting on the table. I don't know where it's been. Probably the guy's a big pile. I ate watermelon. You have your watermelon peel right on the table. So that's the problem. I'm looked at. So what's that? So if it's Mishmur said, if it's a lot, it's disgusting. So that's one answer. Or you can shake the tablecloth off. So really. You can shake the tablecloth, or just put it on a plate with something else. The easiest thing is to put it on a plate with something good. Then just throw the whole plate in the garbage. Fine, shkaya.